Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Lamed Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to Daf Lamed Ches, we are about to begin the Siyata Dishmaya, the fourth Perek of Menachos, Perek Hatcheles. Before we begin the Mishnah, let us glance at the outside margin, and we notice the Nosei, topic heading, in our Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara, that is the basis of Gemara markings. We introduce, as each new sugya arrives, a topic heading, and in addition to that, when necessary, when a new geometric form appears, we attempt to explain its role under a heading called Mivneh, structural note, also in the outside margin. In this case, we have the Nosei, and it says, Tcheles v'lovan b'tzitzis, the white threads, the tcheles are the blue threads, and the white threads in the tzitzis, ha'im me'akvim ze'ezeh, are they mutually binding? In other words, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis, do you need to have both the blue and white threads? It is true that today the more common practice is to have exclusively white threads. However, there are those that feel that they have discovered what was once known as tcheles, and in fact have introduced that into their tzitzis, a blue thread. On a Torah level, the pasuk that we recite as part of the Kriya Shema makes a reference to the seal tcheles, the blue thread that is part of the tzitzis. So we will deal with the issue of the binding nature of having both colors. It might be pointed out that the blue thread essentially is a wool string that is dyed with the tcheles dye. Bahemshech haGemara tishal. In the Gemara, as it continues on in the Sugya, the Gemara will ask, Lemo Masnisin, should we say that our Mishnah, the Soiber Ein Makvin, our Mishnah presents an opinion that says that they are not mutually binding, which means that you can be Yotze the Mitzvah if you have only one type of string. You have exclusively white strings, or exclusively blue strings. That position of the Mishnah will be deloy kerebi, unlike the Shita of Rebbe, shesover dema'akvin. We made reference to the posuk in the third paragraph of the Kriya Shema, in which it says, "Venosnu al tzitzis hakonof psil tcheles." The word hakonof we will see in the Gemara and in Rashi means not only the literal meaning, the corner, but that the tzitzis must be of a material that is like the corner of the garment. The corner of the garment, we assume, and this is a point that Rashi explains, that most of the garments, as far as the Gemara is concerned, most people's garments were made of linen, which is generally white linen garments. That, therefore, two of the four strings that are inserted into the corner of a garment before, we say four strings, that's before they are doubled over and tied into knots and wound about as the standard tzitzis are prepared, four strings are inserted into the corner of the garment. So from the posuk that says hakonof, we learn that you have to have two white strings. Two white linen strings. In addition to that, two more strings, psil techeles, indicates blue strings, which is made of wool that's dyed with the techeles dye, a blue type color. It may be pointed out ahead of time, just a piece of general knowledge that will figure in a number of sugyas in the Gemara, that the nature of tzitzis, as envisioned by the Gemara, is a chidush, insofar as that we are allowing a combination of wool in linen. What do we mean by that? There is an isser of kilayim, mixed breeds, and when it comes to clothing, the mixed breeds of clothing is a mixing of wool and linen, and that's commonly referred to by the term shatnez. The very nature of tzitzis has a wool thread, the tcheles threads, that are bound to the linen garment. Don't have any fear. The Torah itself makes a provision for this allowance by virtue of the fact that the Torah says that you shall not wear shatnez, but tzitzis you shall make. From the fact that you have the proximity of these two mitzvahs, one next to the other, we learn that even though there's a prohibition of shatnez, nevertheless, when it comes to tzitzis, there is an allowance made on a Torah level. This information is of value not only by way of introduction, but we will find it useful to know for today's sugya. Let us now turn to the Mishnah. Hatcheles eino me'akeves es halovon, v'halovon eino me'akev es hatcheles. Even though the mitzvah is to have two blue strings, let us say a person doesn't do that, but rather has his tzitzis exclusively made of the white strings. Four white strings, or alternatively, four blue strings. The Mishnah is telling us he will be yotze. That, of course, is the simplistic, superficial explanation. As we go on in the Gemara, we may end up giving a different pshat to this Mishnah. But as far as we're concerned at this point, the Mishnah is to be explained as we did. Another point the Mishnah makes, this actually ties into information to sugyas that we had in the previous parak regarding the tefillin. Tfila shel yad eino me'akeves es shel rosh. The hand tefillin does not, in other words, the lack of a hand tefillin does not prevent one from putting on the head tefillin, the tefillin shel rosh. V'shel rosh eino me'akeves es shel yad. And the tefillin shel rosh, if one, let us say, does not have it, does not prevent one from fulfilling a mitzvah of tefillin shel yad, so that if one has only one of the two tefillin, he nevertheless should put them on, put it on. The Gemara opens up with the question that we mentioned in our introduction, and we should note also we have a long question marking that accompanies this. To the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you see a shin that's encircled. The word, the shin, represents she'ela, and a vertical dashed line that follows. All of the lines of Gemara that are opposite this vertical dashed line constitute the question. So the Gemara asks, Leimo masnisen delo karebi. Should we say that our Mishnah is unlike Rebbe? Well, why should you think that? Desanya, we have a Tanaic source, as you can see. There's a section of Gemara that's in a frame in our Gemara marking system. We frame off Tanaic sections so as to distinguish it from the rest of the Gemara. Well, in this source, we will have two Tanaic opinions presented. The first one is Rebbe, and you will be the judge of Rebbe being seemingly unlike our Mishnah. The Pasuk says, Uri Isem Oisoi, Melamed Shem Akvin Ze Es Ze, Divrei Rebbe. The Pasuk indicates that both colors are interconnected. One is binding upon the other. That's Rebbe's opinion. So we have dashed, underlined the key expression, Shema Akvin Ze Ze. Compare that to that which the Mishnah teaches. It says, Eino ma'akeves. So at this point, we already see that the Mishnah does not parallel Rebbe's opinion. The Chachamim Omrim Ein Ma'akfin. The Chachamim disagree with Rebbe and say that one is not binding upon the other. As we said before, one could fulfill the mitzvah even if he doesn't have both types of strings in his tzitzis. You notice now that we have a brackets. We also have a bracket length indicator. If you glance to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, you will notice a vertical dashed dotted line. This is designed to help you see the length of the bracket section. In the event that the brackets themselves don't stand out, you can use this marking to navigate and see where they in fact end. So, what is the purpose of having these few lines in brackets? This is explained in the note accompanied by a star on the inside margin, and we've indicated Sograyim L'Shem Dilug. These brackets indicate that you can actually skip on the initial reading that which is contained therein. What are we trying to demonstrate here? Ad kan nishal ikur hashela. Up till the brackets, the basic question has been raised. B'soichom, within the brackets, muva hesber l'shitas Rebbe v'chachamim. Within the brackets, the Gemara will give an explanation for how Rebbe and the Chachamim respectively see their opinions, how they derive their opinions. After the brackets, the Gemara then reverts to the original question with a response, at which point the Gemara says, when we skip momentarily, Omar Avud Omar Rav, we're reading right after the brackets, Afilu Temo Rebbe. Rav Yudah Marav will tell you that our Mishnah can be set up like Rebbe. The question then is, how do you resolve the Mishnah that says Eino Ma'akeves and Rebbe that says Ma'akvin? Lo Nitzrucho Elo Lahakdim. That which the Mishnah teaches Ein Ma'akvin is not going on the presence. It's not referring to the presence of the two colors that they're not Ma'akev, when in fact they are Ma'akev, like Rebbe says. So then what aspect of the tzitzis making is not binding? This has to do with the insertion of the strings into the corner of the garment. From the Torah presentation, it would appear that the white string should be inserted first into the hole at the corner of the garment. Let's say you inserted the blue strings first, so that doesn't ruin the tzitzis. That element of order is not binding. We'll go over this once again, but before we get to the answer, the response to the lame question, we have to go over the bracketed section. After having seen a Tanaic source in which Rebbe and the Chachamim appeared, Rebbe saying they are Ma'akev, the presence of the two colors is binding, the Gemara asks in the brackets, Mai Taimo de Rebbe, what's the reason behind Rebbe's opinion? Dichtiv. The Pasuk says, Ha Konof, which means Min Konof, which Rashi explains means white. And as we explained in our introduction, most garments were made of linen, and linen is white. Hence, you should have two white strings, and that's learned from Hakonof. Uksiv psil tcheles. The Pasuk also makes a reference to blue strings. So you have white strings and blue strings. The Omar Rachmana uri isem oisoi. And the Torah says, and you shall see it, meaning the tzitzis. From this we learn, ad di'ika travaihu b'chad. One does not fulfill until he has both of them together. It could very well be, by virtue of the fact that you have the tzitzis, even though, as far as types of strings, there is a plural, two types of strings, the Pasuk nevertheless says, you shall see it in the singular, indicating this idea that they have to be together, forming a single unit. Hence, each one is binding on the other. The Rabbanan response to that is, Uriisem Oisoi, they look at the same word Oisoi and say, since Oso is a singular expression, you shall see it, Kol Chad L'chudei Mashma. So, the Rabbanan take the word oso to mean each one by itself. In other words, if you have only one of the two kinds of strings in the garment, for making the tzitzis, you are yotze, you fulfill your requirement. With that in mind, the Gemara repeats the question, Lema delo karebi. So should we say that our Mishnah that indicated non-binding is unlike Rebbe, who said they are binding? The Gemara answers that we don't have to say that the Mishnah is unlike Rebbe. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rava, filu teimo Rebbe. You can say that our Mishnah conforms to Rebbe. Lo nitzrcha elo lahaktim. The teaching of the Mishnah that says that Tchelis is not makiv on the Lavan, this has to do with order. The order of inserting the strings. Desanya, we have a Tanaic source that addresses this issue. Mitzvah lahaktim Lavan l'tchelis. The best way to fulfill the mitzvah is inserting the white string before the blue. The pasuk said hakanof, which means is a reference to the white strings, and then after that it says psil tcheles. Ve'im hikdim tcheles lavon yotza elo shechiser mitzvah. The brisa continues to tell us that if you switched the order and put the blue string in first, you are in fulfillment. Rather, however, you are lacking the mitzvah. My chiser mitzvah. What does that mean, that I'm lacking the mitzvah? In lema chiser mitzvah de lavan, the kiyem mitzvah de tcheles, if you will think, by virtue of the fact that I put the blue string in first, it creates a situation as if the white is not there at all. And don't forget, we're in a mode right now where we're trying to say the Mishnah is like Shitas Rebbe. So if you're going to say that this source, which features the issue of order, and if you switch the order, you've created a situation as if by putting the blue in first, you're making it as if the white one is not there at all, well, then our Mishnah wouldn't conform to Rebbe. Le Rebbe ekuvi me'akev ahadodi. According to Rebbe, you would not be in fulfillment. Rebbe says that both colors are necessary. So that if you're going to explain Shechiser Mitzvah means that by putting the blue string in first, you're making it as if the white one is not there. And in the same breath, you're telling me that you are Yotza, you have fulfilled the Mitzvah, that's not like Rebbe. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav. Shechiser mitzvah v'osa mitzvah. You are lacking in the quality of the mitzvah, but you have nevertheless fulfilled the mitzvah because you do have both colors there. Umay chiser mitzvah. What do you mean then if you say that I am in fulfillment? So what do you mean I'm lacking? Delo avad mitzvah min hamuvchar. I didn't do the mitzvah in its preferred way. In other words, by switching the order, I am chiser mitzvah, the mitzvah of hakdoma, the mitzvah of giving priority to the white. But nevertheless, I am in fulfillment of the mitzvah because I have both colors there. The only thing that I messed up on was order of insertion. But I have both colors, which is in conformity to Rebbe that says you have to have both colors. And by saying that chiser mitzvah, the Gemara explains, I haven't fulfilled the mitzvah in its best way, in the muvchar, the choicest way. And the reason for that is because I switched the order of insertion. All of this explains only one of the two opening phrases of the Mishnah. Ha Tenach, this is a good explanation for Lavan the Eino Me'akev Es HaTcheles, which means that if I put the Tcheles in first, so it doesn't restrict the fulfillment of the mitzvah. However, there's another expression in the Mishnah. Tcheles de'eno me'akeves es halavon mai hi. What does that mean? And if you're going to think that it means that he put the white string in first, well, what do you mean it's not me'akev? That's the way you're supposed to do the mitzvah. So what, if you explain the Mishnah of Eino Ma'akev as being a function of switching around order and it doesn't ruin the fulfillment of the mitzvah, so how do you explain the second phrase? Before we go any further, we should take note of the geometric form we just encountered on the third line from the top, a diamond. In the outside margin, we have a nosei mivne heading. That's a situation where we have the topic content or synopsis of the sugya and the mivne structural note combined into one note. So the diamond is featured, indicating that it highlights Rav and Rava. Rava later on. In our note, we've written Me'achar she ma'amidim es mishnasenu karebi. After we've established that our Mishnah does conform to Rebbe, the sover the chayev lios lavon utchelus batzitzis. Rebbe who holds you have to have both color strings. Rav the Rava kol echad masbir. Rav and Rava's, their role here is to explain mahu hatcheles eino ma'akeves es alavon v'alavon eino ma'akev es hatcheles dekotoni b'mishnoseinu. What is the meaning of these phrases, bearing in mind that we're analyzing things according to Shitas Rebbe? So Rav gave us his opinion. The idea of one not being ma'akev, the other, that has to do with altering the order of insertion, meaning that if you put the blue strings in first and then the white strings, you have not voided the possibility of kiyum ha-mitzvah. You are able to fulfill the mitzvah that way. However, that's a nice explanation for the phrase lavon eino ma'akev es hatcheles. What about the expression tcheles de'eino ma'akev es halavon? My he. The Gemara continues, Omar Romi Barhamo Lo Nitzrucha Elo Letalis Shekula Tcheles. Romi Barhamo explains that the phrase of Tcheles De'eno Ma'akeves Esalavon, which in fact means like we thought, that you switched order. What does Tcheles De'eno Ma'akeves Esalavon practically mean? If you put the white string in first, you haven't ruined anything. So we raise the question, what do you mean you haven't ruined anything? I'm supposed to put the white string in first. So Rami Bar Chama says there is an exception. If you have the entire four-cornered garment is made of tcheles, if it's made of tcheles, then the min, the kanaf, ha-kanaf, which we explained, min kanaf, the first string inserted should be a string whose material is the same as the garment. In that case, if you have a talis shetrula tcheles, a piece of garment, an article of clothing that's completely tcheles, the first string to insert would be two blue strings. The Mishnah comes to tell me that in a case of talis shetrula tcheles, if I put the white string in first, the white strings, I haven't ruined the possibility of kiyum hamitzvah. It's true I ruined the order, but that doesn't ruin the basic fulfillment of the mitzvah. In other words, in a case of talis shetrula tcheles, if in fact I put the white strings in first, which is incorrect, which I shouldn't have done, and I then put in the blue strings, I will nevertheless be in fulfillment of the mitzvah. At this point, we have a bracketed section, and it's a rather long bracket section, and you can see this by following the bracket length indicator to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. We also have a little note that accompanies the brackets, and this you'll see where there is a star across from the bracket length indicator. We'll read our note. L'sograyim elu shnei matarois. These brackets have two purposes. One is l'shem dilug. There is the element of skipping the bracketed section, which will take you to Omar Rava. Rava will be essentially a question on the approach taken by Rav combined with Rami Bar Chama. Rava will ask on their approach. So that is one thing that is gained by using the brackets as a means of skipping. The second reason for the brackets is litachem, to lay out the boundaries, the extent, litachem ketashel gemara, to represent the boundaries of a piece of gemara, shetochano, whose contents the contents of the bracketed section doime lahode gomar lifnayim is very similar to the discussion we just had before the brackets. So as you look at the Gemara, we're right before the brackets, we left off with an explanation of Tcheles Deino Makeves as a Lavan. Rami Bar Chama explained that's talking about a case of Talis Shetchula Tcheles. Regarding that explanation, Rava will ask later on. Now we turn to the brackets. Itmar Nami Omerle Levi Lishmuel. You'll see that the word Nami means also, or similar to. In fact, you'll see, similar to that which we said above, Levi says to Shmuel, Aryoch. Aryoch is a title meaning king. Shmuel was a king, so to speak, of Dine Momenus. So Levi turns to Shmuel and addresses him with this title of distinction, Aryoch Lo Tesev, don't sit down, rather, Akaroch, remain standing. Ad demifreshesli laha milsa. The explanation we gave to this expression, lo tesiv, akaroch, is based on Tosfos in Maseches Nozir Chovdal Rebeis, which is cited on the side of the Gemara. So Levi is saying, listen, don't make yourself too comfortable until you explain ad demifreshesli laha milsa, until you explain the following teaching. The following teaching is none other than our Mishnah. Hatcheles eino ma'akeves es halavon, v'alavon eino ma'akev es hatcheles ma'hi. What is that? What is meant by that which is in the Mishnah? Omar le Shmuel, to whom the question was addressed, answers, lo nitzrucha elo lesodin betzitzis. The Mishnah is addressing the case of a linen garment that needs to have tzitzis put in. The mitzvah lagdumi lovin bereisha. The best way, the proper way to fulfill the mitzvah is inserting the white strings first. My taima, what's the reason for that? The pasuk says hakonof, and only afterwards it says psil tcheles. So hakonof means min konof. The type of material of the garment should have strings of that nature put in first. The Akdim Tcheles Lavon Les Lon Ba. If you switched the correct order and you put the Tcheles strings in first, Les Lon Ba means we are not overly concerned about that. In other words, it doesn't bother us and it doesn't have a negative effect on the fulfillment of the basic mitzvah. Well, that's very good. Tenach the Lavon Deino Ma'akev Es Tcheles. The explanation that was just given is effective for the phrase that says lavon de'eno ma'akev es hatcheles, which, as we just explained, meant that if you have a white linen garment, even though you're expected to put the white strings in first, if you switch the order, it's okay. It's not a binding consideration. However, tcheles de'eno ma'akev es halavon ma'hi, what does that phrase teach us? Omar Rami Bar Chama Lo Nitzrucha Elo Letalis Shekula Tcheles. You'll notice, by the way, that Rami Bar Chama is the same individual who answered this question before, and you can see that we have a geometric form around Rami Bar Chama, a crown shape, and this is here simply to help you to see the similarity in Gemara structure. So Rami Bar Chama answers within this lashon as well. Lo nitzrucha, the phrase of tchelos de'eno ma'akeves es halavon is lo nitzrucha elo letalis shekula tcheles. It's reference to an article of clothing that is made exclusively of tcheles. De mitzvah lagdume tcheles bereisha. The proper way to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis in a case of a talis Shekula Tcheles would in fact be to put the Tcheles strings in first, and the reason for that is the Hakonof Min Konof. And as we mentioned already a few times, it says Hakonof first, and then it says Psil Tcheles. And in this case, the Min Konof, in fact, are the Tcheles strings. So the Tcheles strings should have been put in first. V'i'aktim lovon b'resha les lanba. And if you put the white strings in a talis shetukula tchelis, you put the white strings in first, we say les lanba, we are not overly concerned about that, and you still are in fulfillment of the mitzvah. Omar Rava. Rava, upon hearing all of this, says, Midi tziva kogarim. He says, does the color cause the fulfillment of the mitzvah? Is the color a factor? Ela Omar Rava. Rava, therefore, comes up with his approach to the Mishnah that says, Tcheles eino ma'akev es ha'lovon, and ha'lovon eino ma'akev es ha'tcheles. And his approach has to do with stubbles left after tzitzis are ripped. Now we'll see that in the Gemara. Elo marava lo nitzricha elo legardumin. That means the tzitzis, after they're ripped, a little stubble that remains, and the Gemara explains. The e igardum. If the treles strings were ripped, leaving just a little stubble that's right next to the final knot, the koi lovon, and the white strings are intact. The igardim lovon, if the white strings are ripped, the koi treles, and the blue strings remain intact, less lon ba, then we are not concerned. The amri Bnei Rabbi Chia, the sons of Rabbi Chia taught gardume tcheles ksherim, the gardume ezoiv ksherim. Stubbles of tzitzis that remain, the tzitzis, even though there is strings have been ripped, it still is kosher. It still, one still can fulfill the mitzvah with tzitzis that were made properly, but in the course of time, the couple strings got ripped off. The gardume ezov ksherim. The ezov is a plant that's used in the tara of a mitzora, and if the ezov plant got cut and reduced, and all you're left with are stubbles, it's kosher. It's still suitable for that mitzvah. The kama shiur gardumen. What is the amount of the stubble that we say you are still in fulfillment of the mitzvah? Omar Bar Hamduri, Omar Shmuel, Kedei La'anvon. The length of the stubbles is such that you could take the little bit of string that remains, remains after the knot, and wrap it around, coil it around a single, let's say, revolution around the other strings of that tzitzis. Ibaya laho. The Gemara now wants to ask a focused question. Kedei la'anvon. The expression of enough stubble is left in order to wrap it, that stubble, around the other strings. So is that la'anvon kulu bahadadi? Are you talking about the stubble's minimum length is that it can be wrapped around all of the other strings at one time? Oidilma kol chad v'chad l'chudei, which this is a much lesser amount of stubble, where there has to be sufficient stubble of a string whereby you could wrap it or coil it around one other string. Teku, so this is left unresolved. Boi Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi asks, along this same, within the same topic, Alimi, if you have thick strings, Deloi Me'anvi, as a result of the thickness of this of this particular example of tzitzis, because of the thickness, so this stubble is not long enough to go around these thick strings. The I Havuktini Me'anvi, had they been thin, so the stubble that remains would have been sufficient to go around thin strings, had they been, in fact, thin. My, so what's the din? What's the din regarding a case like this, where you have strings of tzitzis that were cut off, And the problem is that the remaining strings are thick. And as we explained, had they not been thick, so I would have been able to wrap around the stubble. So the question is, what is the status here? Is it kosher or not? Omar le Rav Acha brei de Rav de Rav Ashi, kol shekein de minkar mitzvasayu. If you have thick stubbles that remain, then all the more so, since it's noticeable, it's minkar, so it's all the more so kosher. So that, according to this answer, it appears that even if I can't, the length of the stubble that remains can't wrap around the remaining strings because of their thickness. But since you're dealing with a thick string, the thick stubble that remains, it's all the more obvious that it's part of what was once tzitzis, and therefore you are still in fulfillment. Uman tano de polig ole de Rebbe. If you notice, we have an arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. If you go back to Amud Aleph, you'll notice what this is referring to. So the Gemara here says, Uman Tana de Polig Olei de Rebbe, who is the Tana that argued with Rebbe? We had Rebbe in a Tanaic source. Rebbe had said on Amud Aleph, and you can see the arrow there to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, pointing to a source in which Rebbe said, Ma'akfim Zezeh, and the Chachomim said, Ein Ma'akfim. We want to know who are the Chachomim, who is the Tana that holds like the Shitas Chachomim, the Chachomim being a general term, general name, who is it, in fact, by name, that argues on Rebbe? And by arguing, you're really saying that even if you don't have both colored strings, you still can be in fulfillment of the mitzvah. The Gemara answers, Hi, Tana, who? It is the following Tana. Desanyo, you see a Tanaic source in which we will see the name that we are looking for. Reb Yitzchak Omer Mishum Rabbi Nosson, Shomer Mishum Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Shomer Mishum Rabbi Yochan Ben Duri. There's quite a list of names. Ein lo tcheles matil lovon. If a person doesn't have blue strings, he puts in their stead white strings. So you can have a total of four white strings being inserted into the corner of the garment, and you are in fulfillment. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri would be the Tana that represents a Shita contrary to the Shita of Rebbe. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new geometric form, a triangle, and under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin, we have Rava is featured. He will notice is in a triangle here, and also at the top of Lamed Tes Amid Aleph. We also have a double underline emphasizing the expression Shma Mino. Shma Mino being a conclusion that's reached. When in our note, we have noted that these are Shnei Maskonas Shel Rava V'inyan Kesher Shel Tzitzis, two legal conclusions that Rava reaches regarding the issue of the knot or knots in tzitzis. Omar Rava, Shma Mina, Tzorech Likshor Al Kol Chulya V'Chulya. From the fact that the B'nai Rabbi Chiyo said that Gardume Tcheles are kosher, which means that if you have the tzitzis were ripped and all that remains are stubbles, you're still in fulfillment of the mitzvah. That means that you have all the loose strings, the untied section of the tzitzis have become were ripped off. All that's left are the chulyos, is a reference to the knots and the wind around part of the tzitzis, which hopefully everyone is familiar with what tzitzis look like, so that the part of the tzitzis that represent the upper part of the tzitzis, which are the knots and the coiling, that is all that remains. So, and we saw in the name of the B'nai Rabbi Chiyo that provided you have a shiur of kedei la'anvon, the tzitzis are still said to be kosher. It must be that tzitzis in that form will maintain themselves that way. But if you think about it, if you have at the end of that which exists right now is basically a knot, because the strings that continued beyond the knot have been cut off. So all you have are stubbles. It's very likely that that last knot is going to become undone. If it becomes undone, what is there to ensure that the tzitzits remain in the garment? So Rava points out, from here you see that there must be additional knotting that takes place in the making of the tzitzis. As far as the way the Gemara presents it, upon each section of coiling, and according to one tradition, there are different traditions, but according to one tradition, the coilings are in according to the numbers 7, 8, 11, and 13, that the first section of coiling is where the string is wrapped around or twined around the other strings 7 times. The next section 8, after that a section of 11, and then a section of 13. So Rava wants to say that after each section of winding, there is a knotting. And how does he know that? And that's because the fact that a tzitzis whose strings have been ripped off, leaving only stubbles, one can assume that the lowest knot is going to become undone, and yet we say that the tzitzis are still in a form through which one can fulfill the mitzvah. It must be that the tzitzis are going to remain in place. What guarantees their remaining in place? So this is what Rava concludes, that there must have been additional knotting that took place besides the final knot adjacent to the section of loose strings that just got cut off. As the Gemara says, de'i salkadaitach lo tzorech, we're reading from the second line from the bottom, that if one were to think that the tzitzis do not require this knotting, then ha di'amri b'nei Rabbi Chiya gardume tcheles ksherim v'gardume ezov ksherim, that which the b'nei Rabbi Chiya say that the stubbles of tzitzis, who remain in stubble form are okay, and likewise with regard to the ezov is not really the focus of our discussion right now. Kevon de ishtiri le eloi, ishtiri le kula. If you were to think that there aren't additional knots, and rather there's only the last knot, which is called eloi here, literally the uppermost knot, but it, for our purposes, it means the knot closest to the strings, to the loose strings of the tzitzis, since there are only stubbles left, that knot will most likely become undone. If it becomes undone and there are no additional knots, that's what it means here, ishtiri le kula, the whole attachment is going to become loose and fall out. So what is the basis of understanding that it's kosher, this stubble situation? It must be that there are additional knots above that particular final knot, and that's what Rava said, that tzarech likshar al kol chulya v'chulya. In our markings, there was a long point marking that we used to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. The last three lines of Gemara were, in fact, Rava developing a point. Hence, you see a nun, which indicates in the kuda a point, and the vertical dash line shows that all of these lines develop that point. The point being that there isn't just one knotting that takes place in the making of the tzitzis, but there are multiple knottings, because otherwise it would be hard for us to understand how the B'nai Rabbi Chiya could allow a tzitzis where only stubbles remain. The Gemara, though, rejects this conclusion. The conclusion of Rava was that you have to tie additional knots. The Gemara says, not necessarily so. Dilma de iktar. it's like we should understand as follows. The B'nai Rebbe Chia said that tzitzis that is now in a stubble form is kosher. That's if the person made additional knots in his tzitzis. That does not preclude the possibility of preparing tzitzis with only one knot. However, if one were to prepare it like that, and the strings got ripped off, then he would not be in fulfillment, because a single knotted stubble type tzitzis situation will become undone. Rashi explains this on the top. Dilmo de iktar, klomar, mimai ditzorech leaksher b'chol chuyo. Who says that you have to make additional knots per coil unit? Dilmo ha di amri b'nei Rebbe Chia, maybe that which the b'nei Rebbe Chia taught, namely that a ripped off stubble remaining tzitzis are kosher, hochi ka'amar, maybe they're saying thusly, im kosher al kol chuyo v'chuyo, if one made knots according to each coiled section, havu gardumim sherin, then in the event that the loose strings of the tzitzis get ripped off, the tzitzis will still be kosher. Avo barov tzitzios lo kamachshiri gardumin, but in most tzitzis preparation fashions, we won't machshir a stubble situation. The rov tzitzios ein niksharin al kol chulya v'chulya, because it may be argued that most tzitzis one does not bother making knots after each coiled unit. As you see, we have another triangle, and as we said before, this is another comment of Rava coming to a conclusion regarding knots of tzitzis. V'yomar Rava, shma mina, kesher elyoin d'oraisa. We can conclude from the mitzvah of tzitzis that the knot known as the kesher elyon must be Torah ordained. If one were to think that it's a rabbinic requirement, and that min haTorah, one could fulfill mitzvahs by merely inserting strings into the corner of a garment, inserting strings and then, let's say, coiling them around without knotting, then my itzrich lemishri sodin betzitzis. Why does the Torah have to make a special allowance to preempt, supersede the prohibition of shatnez in allowing tzitzis? Pshita, even without the Torah allowance, I would know that that kind of situation is okay, because if you're talking about the making of tzitzis without any knotting, but rather inserting strings into the corner of a garment and then wrapping them about without knotting, you're basically dealing with a very impermanent type of attachment. What have you basically done? You've basically inserted woolen strings into a hole of a linen garment. The mere insertion of a string of one variety into a beged, an article of clothing of another variety, is really nothing by way of the shatnez violation. Hatokev tekifo achas eino chibor. This is a reference to the method of sewing, where you take a needle and thread, you insert the needle. If you make a singular insertion of the needle, let's say it's a piece of woolen thread and it's a linen garment, that's not called eino chibor, that's not called an attachment, a joining, a binding together. And being that it's eino chibor, that is not a violation of shatnez. Shatnez is a situation where you bind together linen with wool. But if you just insert it without any further binding, as in making a knot, tying knots, that's eino chibor. And therefore, that would not be considered shatnez in the first place. It wouldn't be an example of kilayim in the first place. And if that be the case, so I don't need the Torah to make a special allowance for tzitzis when the making of the tzitzis doesn't violate kilayim in the first place. Eloshma mino doraisa. Therefore, we have to assume, we have to conclude that the need for making a knot in the preparation of the tzitzis is a Torah requirement. Therefore, the Torah is requiring me to take woolen threads, the tchelis threads, insert them into a linen garment, and knot them together. And had it not been in the context of tzitzis, such an action would have been forbidden. Such a wearing such a garment would have been forbidden. Therefore, the Torah comes along and says that in the case of tzitzis, you are allowed to do this. Had it not been for the knot, had there been no knotting, I wouldn't need the Torah to make an allowance. It would have been obviously permitted. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.